believer or not a believer, forgiveness is imperative. The only difference is as a Christian, we've been called to forgive. Amen? And then Pastor went on and he was talking. He said, you know, not only should we forgive, but as we grow in Christianity, there's a time that we quit drinking milk and we have to start chewing on the meat and we need to become a little more mature. So not only forgive individuals that have done something to you or wronged you in some sort of way that you have perceived, maybe it wasn't even, but you perceived it that way. Instead of just forgiving, how about do what Jesus has showed us to do or Stephen has shown us to do and not even lay it to their account? Amen? And then to go a step further beyond that, bless them instead. Instead of saying, man, Lord, get them, bless them instead. Are you guys with me? Now let me ask you something. Is forgiveness sometimes a hard thing to do? It is. But is it good for you to forgive? So why in the world that something that is good for us, why would it be so difficult to do? Because we're coming out of the world, and in the world does not want to forgive. But you see, we're not of the world, okay? We're in it, but we're not of it. The Bible says that we're aliens to this place because now we walk in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, not in the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. Amen? There is a difference, and we've been given a special power, an ability within us through the Holy Spirit that says we now have the ability to walk in a manner that the world can't walk in. We've been getting something so different that everybody else should want what we got. Amen. But we hold on to unforgiveness, and we have to get worked through that. You understand, once you fall into a place of understanding what forgiveness really can and does do for you in your life, that you become free? Amen? Yep. Who wants to be free? I want to be free. Amen. So today I want to talk about something that is just as important. And this is called two simple words, I'm sorry. It's an apology. You see, this is exactly the same as the forgiveness part. You see, we're always concerned with what somebody has done to us, and I don't know if I can forgive them or should I forgive them, but what about what you've done to somebody else? You see, we're walking this walk, and in many times we don't walk it in perfection. The Christ in us is perfected, but we walk out this walk in flesh many times. When we are walking in the Spirit, there's no law against it. But when we're walking in the flesh, there's all kinds of things that pop up and rear its ugly head. 3 weeks ago, I just share a quick story. Some of you have heard the story recently because I was given testimony of how it had to work in me. 3 weeks ago, there was somebody that pulled in my driveway that had an appointment that I had totally forgot about, and I had all kinds of circumstances taking place. Not making excuses, just building a story here, right? In the process of that, the person that pulled in the driveway who had done nothing wrong was received by an individual, me, who was rude and told them basically, leave. Yeah, I did that. And for 3 weeks, I was going, man, that was bad. That was a bad witness. That was a bad example. What if that person is watching Facebook right now or walks in the day? I know that guy, he's a jerk. Don't go to that church. He's one that gives Christianity a bad name. Think about it. Is this a pastor's responsibility? It's a believer's responsibility. The Bible tells us, right, in James 4, that we're to be ready in season and out of season, which means it says to preach. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, it tells us that we are living epistles, meaning we are the living word of God. So if we're the living word of God, and we're to be ready in season and out of season to preach, and we're preaching the word of God by the life and the example that we lead, what kind of witness are we showing to individuals on a daily basis? Do you see, I was 100% fully walking in the flesh when that car pulled into my driveway, and I said, we ain't buying no insurance. I got other things to do. Now, this individual might not even took it as rude. But see, there's something that's changed inside of me, and the Holy Spirit that come to convict us said, hey, man, you were acting like an idiot, and you needed to apologize. And so 3 weeks later, I asked my wife, I'm like, hey, what's the phone number to her? Because I need to make things right. She probably totally forgot about this appointment because she's probably run into it before, but doesn't matter. It matters if I, what my witness is. So we have to come to a place where we say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I acted that way because there was no reason for it. It doesn't matter what was going on in my life. There was no reason for me to treat her the way that I did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir. So how often have we in life treated somebody that we they did not even deserve it? You see, Jesus Christ took our sin upon him. He didn't deserve it, and he gave us a free ride into this thing called grace when we accept him. Who are we then not to apologize or forgive? It's the example that was set before us. Amen. There's a quote. Maybe married people can get this one. How many married people in here? I love this quote. It's by Benjamin Franklin. It says, "Never ruin an apology with an excuse." I'm sorry, but don't point at me. My wife's pointing at me, but she's famous for it. You know, "I'm sorry, but you know, the way you were acting. You know, I'm sorry, but you know, I had a bad day." I don't care about your butt. The butt, B-U-T, takes it, it nullifies the apology. Right? Sincerity. When you put that word in there, but, it nullifies the sincerity of the apology. You see, because I could come up with all kinds of and give you all kinds of reasons and justify it within my own flesh of why I was rude to this individual. I could tell you everything that was going on leading up to it. I could tell you that I was just recovering from surgery and the dog had just ruined his cage for the second time and there was all kinds of stuff and I just got in this demonic fight with a dog and all kinds of things going on. I can tell you all these things. It still doesn't justify my action toward this individual who was innocent. And so Christians are really good at killing individuals, including one another. Because we get to the mindset where we take the thought process that I'm righteous in my action, not I'm righteous in his action. And anytime we do righteousness in our own action, we're out of line with him because all of it is because Jesus Christ. When we don't walk in the Spirit, now Galatians 5:23 on talks about the fruit of the Spirit. After it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it says, "Against these things there is no law." For example, if I treat you with love, and there's joy, and there's peace, and there's kindness, and there's gentleness, and there's patience, and self-control, and faithfulness, if all of that is coming from me, I don't have to apologize for anything because I'm walking in what? The fruit of the Spirit that lives in me. There is no law against such things, and that is what God has given us. But anytime an individual walks out of that, anytime you walk out of love, you walk out of joy, you walk out of peace, you walk out of gentleness, you walk out of goodness, you walk out of faithfulness, you walk out of kindness, patience, and self-control. When you walk out of that, you're now walking in an area of condemnation that you were freed from. You see, we're not under the law because we've been freed from that because he's given us a spirit called the Holy Ghost. Amen? And that Holy Ghost has given us now what? All power, right? The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Just as a side note and a reminder, the marquee out there still says he is risen. I put that on there on purpose because I just want us to make sure we understand that he was risen. He is risen, meaning like today, this Sunday, he's still risen, you know, and tomorrow he's still risen. So I thought, let me keep it on there another week longer, you know what I mean? We don't serve a dead, dying God that was in the past. We serve one alive now in the future to come, amen? That's the power that we have and we know. This is the thing that gives us hope to be able to stand firm on our ground each and every day of our lives. This is the thing where you can wake up and you put a smile on your face and you know what? I am in victory because I serve the King of Kings and he wins in every situation, no matter what it looks like right now. I'm sorry, Lord, that I didn't have the faithfulness or the strength to endure or remember what you had done for me. You see, it's okay to apologize. God likes it because when you apologize, your heart gets right. When you say, "I'm sorry," it's you that is set free, but also the other individual that you're apologizing to. It is a really cool thing. So, admitting you're wrong. Who has that problem? I see that hand and I raise a hand. Amen. Listen, admitting you're wrong is one of the biggest issues we have as human beings because we want to be right. That's why serving God is so cool, because he's made us right. Amen. But saying I'm wrong is a place where you come to humble yourself. So Proverbs, in Proverbs it says that pride comes before you fall, but humility comes before honor. When you have the ability to just say, you know what, I messed up, I'm sorry, and move on, you're now set free. Just like the aspect of forgiveness, when you forgive somebody, even if they don't care or didn't even remember that they had done something against you, when you forgive them, you're now free to go over wherever you want because you can face them, no problem. But it's the same with saying I'm sorry, apologizing. If you've apologized to somebody, you have now made peace with the individual, hopefully. And that is what we're called to do as Christians, to be peacemakers. We make war in the heavenlies, and I do it every single day of my life. And we have to, because of the battlefield of the mind, to get this mind right. All right? We have to do war on the floor. We have to do battle. But the thing is we're called to bring peace to the world that is in enmity with God. We want them to come into the same place that we have, the same relationship. We are to be a witness. Acts 1:8 says that when we receive the power, we'll be witnesses of what Jesus Christ did and his resurrected power. Amen. In us, there should be a difference and a change. Holding on to unforgiveness or holding on to bitterness, that's a good word. Thank you very much from the audience. Yes, towards somebody is deadly. It's deadly. It kills the other individual and it kills you. It kills you spiritually. Grieves the Holy Spirit, if I may. If you understand what I'm saying, the Holy Spirit wants what it has released out of you. When you release something other than what the Holy Spirit has coming out of you, it's not the Holy Ghost. It's you. But you've been changed and different. And when we get our minds right and focused on that, and we understand these lessons and these tools, and we start to put them in our arsenal of life, things change. And now we start walking out that abundant life, the more life, because the abundant part of life is power, right? Amen. And we've been given it. So Psalms 51:3 says, I admit that I am rebellious. My sin is always in front of me. Admitting you're wrong. I admit that I am rebellious. Even as a saved individual, you can walk in rebellion. Thank God for God's grace and his mercy. His mercy. Right? Giving an apology. Matthew 5, 23-24. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and remember that there is another believer and they have something against you, leave your gift at the altar. First go and make peace with that person. Then come back and offer your gift. We're called to make peace. Why would God? You know what? I think that's a loving father. I think that's a good father that would want us to be able to make peace. Because you see, I walked 34 years in this world full of anger and full of resentment and full of hatred. And I tell you what, there was an emptiness in me that I couldn't get filled in any way. I couldn't get it filled by doing things the way the world did. In no way, shape, or form. The only way to fill that void that was filled with bitterness and regret and all those things like that, anger and hatred, was to get it filled with something else. And that was the Spirit of God. Amen. And now that it's filled, I don't even know how the other stuff still creeps up, but it does. Yeah, you know what? If you stay prayed up, those things won't happen. If you stay with your mind focused on God, those things won't happen. You see, if I walked out going, man, God, you are so good. This is a beautiful day. Thank you for this home and this driveway and people around me. If I would have walked out that way and this person pulled in my driveway, I'd be like, hey, praise Jesus, how you doing? But instead, I was walking out going, this stupid dog, and I can't believe this, and blah, 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 blah. And I walked out and said, what are you doing? I don't want to buy any insurance. Get out of here. I wasn't that rude, but I'm just kind of summarizing it. Is it okay to be transparent? Is that okay? Is it right? I ain't never going back to that church again. That pastor, he is a sinner. He's a sinner! crucify him. No, Jesus was crucified for me, and I know my place, and I know him as my Father, and I know that I need to change things. And when I change things, he's going, that's my boy. That's my boy. Now that's what I want you to do. And so when you change something, he's going, all right, that Fran, perfect. That was perfect. Good girl. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Good job. I'm glad you're in high school and you're not doing the things those other high schoolers are doing.
Me too.
Yeah. Woo. We have a victory in Jesus. Yes. Amen. I love it. Love. We don't say I'm sorry. Or we hold on forgiveness because we forget about this thing that brought us to salvation to begin with, and it's a thing called love. All we need is love. I'm not going to sing anymore. Hey, but that other song was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. Those listening have no idea what I'm talking about, but maybe. You'll have to come to church someday. I'll sing it for you. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 8 says, the end of everything is near. Therefore, it's speaking to us, right? Practice self-control and keep your mind clear so that you can pray. Practice self-control and keep your mind clear so that you can pray. Above all, love each other warmly because love covers a multitude of sin. You see, if I was walking out to my driveway that day filled with love, I wouldn't have come across the way I did. It's okay if I beat myself up about this because it makes me change. Yeah. Yeah. And change for the better is a good thing. Amen?
Amen?
All right. All right. Saying I'm sorry also shows maturity. It shows maturity. Because people that want to hold a grudge and hold on to those things, that is a sign of immaturity. Because grudges don't do anything for you. That's world stuff. I want to be mature in Christ. Yeah, I want to be mature in Christ. That was really enthusiastic. My goodness, man. You want to try it again? I want to be mature in Christ.
I want to be mature in Christ.
Someday the neighbors will hear us. We might open the doors or something like that. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says that when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, say when I became a grown-up, I put away childish things. Listen, think about that. How many times do we hold on to this little kid stuff? My daddy can beat your daddy up. You know, it's like we're with ourselves walking around. Who was born in the 70s and grew up in the 80s? All right. You guys ever remember like getting ready to get in a fight or something? Maybe you did. Maybe you're good Christians and not me. You know, and you got shoulder to shoulder and you walk around like, what's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? That was immature. That was the stupidest thing somebody could do, man. That was ridiculous, right? What? Before you know it, you're dizzy and you all fall down. Nothing came of it. It was just ridiculous. It was immature. Maturity comes into a place where you're like, hey, I'm sorry. Did you guys used to do that? I hear the joy over there. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Smile and laugh. This probably was a California thing. Yes, 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 I was. But I was, not is. Right? I was in La La Land. But listen, we need to grow up. If we don't grow up as Christians, we will continually walk in the ways of the world. We will continually be kicking ourselves. We'll continually be finding messages to preach because we lived it out ourselves. And I don't know, the only reason I did that is so I had a message to preach.
It was great.
Oh, I'm telling you. See, I suffer for you. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we're going to hold a suffering conference tomorrow night. All are invited. Suffering for Jesus. Amen. Next, you know what? We, when we're mature in this and we're walking in love, we should seek peace. And Romans 14, 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Again, I mean, you continually hear this. And things wherewith one may edify one another. You know, if you've done something to hurt somebody, that kind of breaks them down and breaks their spirit, okay? But we're told as Christians that we should build people up. We're supposed to give an encouraging word. I don't think there's, I mean, to say I'm sorry, that's pretty encouraging. I am so sorry that I did that without putting the but in there, right? Without putting the excuse in there. I am so sorry I did that. One of the greatest lessons I ever learned in my entire life was one day somebody called the church and was mad at the church here. And they were yelling and screaming and they were saying that we had done something that we did not do. They were saying we did it, but we didn't do it. Pastor Weldon says, just tell them we're sorry. We didn't do anything, but just tell them we're sorry. Responded back to them, we're sorry. Not justifying anything, not trying to make an excuse, not throwing the butt out there, just, I'm sorry. And then what happened? It come out. God works things out to the good. They found out who actually said it, apologized to us. That sorry reciprocated with later a sorry. And started, instead of, so how many times have you ever been at a position where you're going, man, I know I'm right. But your pride has taken you to a level where you're like, yeah, I am not going to back down from this. I'm right. I'm right. I'm not backing down from this. But the simplest way, see, a kind word turns away wrath, says our word, says Scripture. A kind word turns away wrath. I'm sorry is a kind word. Now, if you call somebody, you're sorry, that's not a kind word. But I'm sorry is a kind word, right? And when you do that, it changes the environment around you. It even goes to the point where your kindness heaps lumps of coals on the head of that enemy when you're kind to your enemy, because it makes them think, wow, what is really going on? It stops people in their tracks. You can argue, you know, just like there's never a lack of need for prayer, there's never a lack of the opportunity to get in an argument. All you have to do is say you're right. Oh, these chairs are maroon. No, they're not maroon. They're burgundy. No, they're maroon. No, they're burgundy. No, they're maroon. No, they're burgundy. How silly is that? What is the difference? You're over there probably saying, no, those are turquoise. No, I'm just kidding. Some other color, I don't know. How silly are the fights? Do we get in silly fights? Yeah. Most of the arguments, especially if you're married, most of the arguments are absolutely ridiculous. So the Bible goes on, because it is so good, the Bible goes on and tells us, do not let the sun set on your wrath. In other words, it says, what it's saying is, don't go to bed angry, because you better settle it. Why should you settle it? Because when you wake up the next morning, if it wasn't settled, it's now there again, and how are you starting your day? Horribly. Because it's still, you're perseverating on the thought that you went to bed with, and you probably slept horribly to begin with. And if it was with your spouse, you were probably on a lumpy couch. Got to get it right. So let's make peace, like the word says. I'm sorry. I apologize. I love you. I don't care who's right or wrong. All I know is you're my best friend, and I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. Amen. You're my best friend, so let's just... Amen. It's probably dumb anyways. But my wife's over there going, you better say you're sorry after this, because I feel like you've made this message for me. You're just preaching directly to me, aren't you? No. I'm preaching to myself. Because I'm going to build you up, because you're a mighty woman of God. Amen. When we walk in unforgiveness, when we don't say things like, I'm sorry, when we don't apologize, we become a fool. The Bible says, Proverbs 14:19, stubborn fools make fun of guilt, but there is forgiveness among decent people. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I want to be a decent person. I remember, we had communion today, right? I remember, Jesus, what you've done for me. You know what's helpful? You know, when we think about him being nailed to the cross, I nailed him to the cross. It was my sin that he took upon him. Because he loves me, just as I am. Amen? So I'm going to give you a closing example. I'm going to quit using my own example. because this transparency is probably going to kick me in the behind later, but no, I'm just kidding. Closing example is out of Genesis 50, 15 through 21. Let me read this to you. And this is Joseph's brothers, okay? Joseph's brothers realized what their father's death could mean. So they thought, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us? What if he decides to pay us back for all the evil that we did to him? They sent a messenger to Joseph to say, before your father died, he commanded us, this is what you should say to Joseph. This was the command. I'm begging you to forgive the crime and the sin your brothers committed against you. What they did to you was very evil. So now please forgive our crime because we are servants of your father's God. Joseph cried when he got their message. And then his brothers also came, and immediately they bowed down in front of him and they said, we are your slaves, they said. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I can't take God's place. Even though you planned evil against me, God planned good to come out of it. Amen? This was to keep many people alive, as he is doing now. Don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. In this way, he reassured them, setting their minds at ease. The other example of when we apologize, and I said it already, but just to reiterate, not only does it make peace between the individuals, but it also puts our minds at ease. And didn't Scripture tell us that we're to do everything to get our mind right so that what? We could pray. Fervent prayer, the effective fervent prayer avails much. And there's so much that we have available to us. So every day of our life that we walk outside of the Spirit and we walk in the flesh, there are laws that we come under. But in the Holy Ghost, there isn't. And so it's all of us to remember what he's done for us so that we can then do better. Because he wants us to for the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet, close in prayer. Father, I am thanking you right now for the many lessons in life that you give us, Lord. And Father, I pray that that we can learn from our transgressions, our trespasses towards others. Your word in the perfect prayer, in the model prayer, tells us to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And Father, as you forgive us, we forgive others, Lord. And Father, we just declare in our hearts to just apologize to whoever we may have wronged, Lord. And so, Father, thank you that your Spirit is alive and well in all those who call you Lord and Savior. Father, if there are those that don't know you and they want to go closer to you, Father, I just pray that they would come, they would call on your name, they would accept you, they would thank you for the forgiveness of their sin. I thank you, Lord, that you create in them a new spirit through faith in you. And Father, that all things will be transformed and changed. So Father, on this day, I ask that you would bless each and every one here, all those that are listening, our loved ones, Father. And in Jesus Christ's glorious name, we give you all the praise and glory. And all in agreement said, amen. Amen. God bless you.